Good morning. We don't have too many people on the front rows. Also, in our travels, we made a mistake, and that was to not bring a Sunday school paper from last week. So if someone can give me the Bible verse that some of the kids might know this morning, I'd appreciate that. Okay, someone have a song they'd like to sing? Even beyond the front rows, that's okay.
Number five.
Number five, thank you very much. You are great. Thank you. And someone can start that, please.
Oh, happy day that makes my joy.
Another one? How about on the back there? Why don't we do Jesus Loves Me? And for the chorus, we'll do the sign language. Okay, I presume we all know that. Yes, Jesus loves me. And then the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. Now, I kind of indicated that because there's three words for so, but that's the one I kind of like. So, okay, someone want to start that, please?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yeah.
Jesus, of course, is pointing at the wounds in his hands. Jesus loves me. And the Bible, the Bible, is Jesus' book. Bible. It's American Sign Language. Fourth most common spoken language, or unspoken, language in the United States. Okay, second verse. Go ahead, please. Distracted when you're talking with your hands. Some of us talk with our hands without even thinking, though it's usually not American Sign Language. Another song? Yes, please. 46. Thank you very much. One of the spelling songs. Someone want to start that, please? Number four, thank you. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Someone start that, please.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me.
Yeah.
41. I always loved this song when I was a kid. And I thought the person that wrote this song must have been so smart, because he has a sentence. There's four sentences, and they all end with the same expression. Wow, how could he write that, he or she, I don't know whether it was, how could that person write that and end up with the same little phrase at the end of each sentence and it all makes sense? You might notice that what we call a verse or a stanza here, they all end with a comma. Well, not all, but they all end not with a period, let's put it that way. And the little refrain or the chorus goes right with that every single time. So I was really, really impressed at this song. Okay, someone can start this, please.
Around the throne of God in heaven, many children sing, children whose sins are all forgiven, heaven anthem spring, singing glory, glory, glory to God on high. In shining robes of spotless white, each one will
Father, we are thankful for another day of the grace of God. We're thankful for a beautiful day and the sunshine, and we thank Thee that we can live in the sunshine of Thy love. We do look to Thee for anyone who might not really know Thee as Savior, perhaps a young one, perhaps an old one who has not yet become as a little child to receive Thee. We just do pray for a work in each heart. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. Now, the Sunday school verse that is commonly learned by lots of kids for this morning is, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." That's Proverbs 14:26. Now, is there someone who has learned this or another verse who would like to say it this morning? Now, I know this is probably a bigger crowd than your Sunday school at home, but you're still welcome to recite memory verse if you want to. Do I see any takers? No, that's fine. If there's none, that's all right. We often have some of the younger ones sitting up in the front, but any of your family know the Bible verse that want to say it or want to give it a whirl? You're welcome to. I don't have any toys or candy or anything like that to hand out, so there's maybe no incentive from that point of view. You're welcome to if you want, if you know the verse. Want to give it a try? Or no? Okay. Yeah, the book of Proverbs is a very, very nice book. Lots of nice verses in the book of Proverbs. Okay, let's dive into the subject I had for this morning. And I had an interest in talking about the moon. The moon. Now, the moon is quite an interesting piece of God's handiwork up in the sky. And it's rather amazing. And just to get this out of, in case you're thinking along this line, you know the Latin, presumably the Latin for moon is luna. And we get several words from that, including like lunar, like we talk about in lunar eclipse. We talk about a lunar month. And we also talk about lunatics. Yes, that comes from the moon. Lunatics, people that spend too much time either staring at or thinking about the moon, they go crazy. And so we have in our vocabulary lunatic. So that's connected to the moon, in case you didn't know that. So be careful staring at the full moon, okay? Our moon is one amazing thing. Think how big it is. It's not the biggest, but it's one of the biggest moons in our little solar system here, going around our special star called the sun. But it is by far the biggest moon in comparison to the size of its planet. Because, you know, Earth is a pretty small planet. Not that huge. And the moon is, in comparison, is very large. Yeah. A lot of moons out there that are real tiny. And I've lost count on how many moons there are going around Saturn and Jupiter. But there's a whole lot of them out there. Most of them are pretty small. But we have a big moon. It's great. And you ever notice that the moon looks, every time there's a full moon, you can see the whole moon. Ever notice it always looks the same? I mean, isn't the moon shaped like a ball? If it's shaped like a ball, why don't we see the side of the ball? Why don't you see the back of it? What happened? What's there to hide? All we see is one side of that moon. That's actually quite a miracle, because that's very unusual. Very unusual. We're going to maybe talk about that a little bit later. Of course, we know who made all of that, and he had a reason for making the moon so special for the Earth, that beautiful moon that we all enjoy. And we're going to do a few things about the moon this morning. So to begin with, let's turn to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua, chapter 10. And there's going to be two parts to our Sunday school this morning. There's going to be a part that, to those that are some of our older young folks here, and then there'll be part that is more to the younger young folks. And to the older young folks, it's a project. And we're going to start in Joshua chapter 10, and we're going to read in verse 12 and 13 of Joshua 10. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So, the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Now consider the incredible power, if you know God, that's really not a big deal, but consider the incredible power of what it meant to give the appearance that the sun and the moon did not move. Just think of everything that went into that. And if you're familiar with a little bit of physics, you would say that is obviously impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Okay, let's take this for some of our older ones that are here. Let's look to the south, and you are Joshua. And you're fighting this battle, and you have asked God to give you some more time. And the way to do that was to give you more daylight. And so you're looking towards the south, and you see the sun up in the sky, and the moon is up there also. Yes, you can see the moon in daytime, of course, certain times of the month, and that is going to be part of our project. If you're looking towards the south, and the sun is standing still, it's going to be like that for 20 hours plus. So you have time to think about this. Where in the sky is the sun? And now start thinking, because there's going to be some other things coming up a little later about this. Where in the sky is the sun? Where is the moon? And what phase of the moon is it? Okay, got it? Now, these are not extraordinarily hard questions. You just have to kind of stop and think about it. You probably haven't stopped and thought about about things like this. Okay, so are you thinking about it? You'll have an answer for me? No, you. You'll have an answer for me in about 5 minutes? Yeah, good. Okay. So, there's the three questions. Where's the sun? Where's the moon? And at what phase is the moon in? You'll work on that, Jason? Okay. Now just put that in your mind. That is south, by the way, I'm pretty sure. The way the sun is shining in the door there. Now, in the meantime, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. Well, these great lights, of course, the sun. And the second one, the moon. These past couple months, at least in our neck of the woods, the weather's been reasonable enough. Where when the full moon has come out, it's been very spectacular. Very bright. And this last one, it rose large over the horizon just a couple weeks ago. And a beautiful, beautiful moon. And sometimes a moon that seems to come up looking large on the horizon is called a harvest moon. And I've never seen a truly spectacular harvest moon. But isn't it interesting how the moon looks bigger when it's down towards the horizon? Probably all noticed that. Do you realize that that's totally an optical illusion? It's totally an optical illusion. The human eye will always look at a moon that's near the horizon of Earth as if the moon is bigger than what it is. Now, how did they go about working on that? They took pictures of a rising full moon. And they had people observe at the same time. They took the pictures, like every 5 minutes or something. And they had people say, well, how big do you think the moon is? And they got the pictures, and they measured on the photograph how big it looked on the photograph and compared it to what the people said. And the people said, oh, it always looked bigger when it's towards the horizon. And they measure on the photograph, and lo and behold, it's the exact same width on the photograph. You can't get around it. Your brain will always tell you that the moon looks bigger. You cannot get around it. Don't ask me why. But it always does, and it's not true. But these are great lights, and God has put them, the one to rule the day and the one to rule the night. And we're thankful for a bright moon that gives us some light at nighttime. You know, one of the biggest things that has been feared by mankind over the centuries is darkness. And for good reason. Broken legs, knocked out by hitting something, falling, you know, the path ends and you end up over a cliff of some sort. Oh yeah, darkness has been the greatest fear. Mankind, one of the greatest hindrances of mankind for centuries. And so we're thankful for the moon that gives light. Now, the moon's light is only reflected. And of course, you know that I'm going to have a point to some of this, right? You are reflecting God's light in this world. You are like the moon. No, not the lunatic part, but the light part, shining as lights. Let's turn to Psalm 8. And no matter how big or how small we are, whether we're a young Christian or an older Christian, we are all to reflect God's light. Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. You know, all of God's works glorify God himself, and they speak in some way of God. We think the sun is important. Who does God think is important? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The creation is astonishing. God's love toward us is more astonishing. That he sent Jesus Christ into this world, the Son of Man, the one who came to suffer, the one who humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That one is far more important than any of these created things, as neat and as interesting as they are. Let's go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, and there's some talking about David's, King David. He was the king in Israel, you know, and how his family was going to go on and was going to be very great. And of course, if you go down far enough in David's line, you know, David had a son and a grandson and great-grandson, and you keep going down. And down through history, you come to Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus is born into David's house, called David's house, his lineage. You know, great grandson of David is Jesus. So, that's why it says in verse 36, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. Going to last forever. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Well, both the sun and the moon are faithful witnesses to God's goodness to us, the wonders of his creation, but you know, the moon in a very special way is a witness. You are like the moon. But you know, the church is like the moon too. And maybe we could put it this way. I've had a week to go over this. I mentioned this last Lord's Day. But the church is like the moon. It reflects divine light. Let me back up. The church is like the moon. A heavenly people. There you go. A heavenly people who reflect divine light back onto a needy earth. Church is like the moon, heavenly people reflecting divine light back onto a needy earth, a witness. And you know, the moon, our moon, is very reflective, very reflective. It can be very bright, a full moon. It's quite amazing. Well, that's the way we're supposed to be in this world, reflecting back God's goodness into a needy world. And so the moon is like a faithful witness in heaven, and that's what you should be also. Now, the Valley of Ajalon. Who has got it figured out? Where is the sun? Yeah. Okay. What time of day? Okay. Okay. South, east, west. Okay. So it'd be towards the west. So it'd be over here. Okay. So that doesn't leave much other section of the sky for the moon to be in. So what section of the sky is the moon in? If it's afternoon, it probably is mid to late afternoon, because the battle is going on. I need more time. So, where would the moon be? There's not much choice here. Where would the moon have to be? Point? Don't have to say anything out loud. You got it figured out? Okay. So over here somewhere. So the sun would have been over there, and the moon would have been over there, and what phase of the moon would it be? What phase of the moon? Who over here has been pondering? You've been pondering. What phase of the moon would it be? Would it be a full moon? Okay. Couldn't be a full moon, could it? Because the moon has to be totally opposite from the sun. That means on the other side of the earth to be a full moon. Okay. Can't be a new moon, because it'd be right close to the sun to be a new moon. Okay, so what's in between?
Second phase.
Second phase. Okay, let's call it a half moon. Okay. It might be. It would have been a half moon, or maybe a little bit bigger than a half moon. Okay, very, very likely. Depends on a few things. But it couldn't be a full moon. It couldn't be a real small moon. It would have been like a half moon or a little bit bigger. Now, let us pretend... This is part two of the older section here. Let us pretend that it was a half moon. Let's say it was exact half moon. Okay, now that's making an assumption that it's not in the Bible at all. Okay. But let's assume it was an exact half moon, and somebody had a long time to think about this, because that day was pretty long, hour after hour, and they just sat there. The sun and the moon just didn't move any place, and they had a long time to think about it. By the way, this did happen, probably not back in the day of Joshua. Someone did think about this. Someone said, "Ah, look at that. I can figure out how far away the sun is from the earth. Yeah, I could do that." Okay, now tell me how. This was done about 300 years before Christ. Someone did sit down and think about that. But probably not back in Joshua's time. I want to throw one other thing here that might be fascinating. If in Israel there was both the sun and the moon up in the sky, and it was for this very, very long time, would have been almost 24 hours, 23 hours plus, would have been like that. What did the poor folks on the other side of the world think? No sun, no moon. This is really, really something. You would have felt like you've been left out in the dark, huh? Okay, let's turn to Psalm 136. Psalm 136, and this is kind of a fun chapter. Our family enjoys reading this at the dinner table because of the way it's organized. Psalm 136, and let's start verse 5. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. It's God's grace that has put these things for our benefit up in the heavens. Be thankful for that wonderful sun that's out there. Be thankful for that wonderful moon that God made for your benefit. Be thankful for all the stars that God made. But we need to think beyond that. We need to be thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who's that Son of Righteousness. We need to be thankful that we are a redeemed people and that we can shine as lights in this world. We're going to read that verse before we're done here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Sorry about turning to so many verses, but there's no exact one chapter in the Bible about the moon. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. I'm going to take this, the scripture is written for that to say exactly that, but I'm going to take it out of the context of this chapter. There is a glory that's different between the sun and the moon. And you know, is the moon any less important because it's not the sun? Are the stars any less important because it doesn't have the same visual image as the moon? You know, do the stars feel left out because romantic poems haven't been written about them, but they've been written about the moon? You know, no. Each has their own glory. And you may wonder where you fit into God's scheme, but you do. And each of us has a particular glory in the presence of God and for the benefit of the people around us. No matter who you are, whether you seem to be little or big, whether you're older or younger, whether people know who you are or not, you're important. You have a glory that God has given to you. Turn to Revelation, and towards the end, Revelation chapter 21, Revelation 21 and verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, in heaven, everything is going to be in total connection with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to make a difference about other lights. It doesn't make any difference whether there's a physical sun or a physical moon or stars. Because Jesus Christ takes precedence over all that, everything. And we should actually think that way now, that Jesus Christ is first and foremost. Now, I just have a little just a word to say to those that are older. And then just a few little verses for those that are younger. Let's go to Philippians. And Ephesians. Just a few pages off here. Ephesians, chapter 4. Joshua, of course, asked that have more daylight hours, that he'd be able to accomplish something. And Ephesians 4, verse 26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down. It's like in Joshua's time, the sun didn't go down until his task was accomplished. Neither let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There are several ways of thinking about this, I'm sure, but I've enjoyed this, that if we have the light of the Word of God for us, no matter what our situation, that it will be sufficient. Don't let the light of the Word of God go down until your matter is solved. It doesn't mean a 24-hour day. It might be a whole month. But let that light shine. Don't let the sun go down on the things that are frustrating you or angering you or whatever. Let that light shine on your circumstances. And again, for those that are older in... Sorry for going fast here. First John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2 and verse 14. In the middle of the verse, it says, I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong. The Word of God abideth in you. See, don't let that sun go down. Actually, for your whole life. The Word of God abideth in you. You've overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, there is a phase of the moon, which is called the new moon, and it can block the light of the sun. We want to be a moon like shines good stuff into this world, but we don't want to be the kind that blocks out the light of the sun. We call it a solar eclipse. It can happen. And it can happen in our lives too, that we might get in God's way. Let's be sure and not do that. And Matthew, maybe for some of us that are younger, Matthew chapter 5, very simple here. Well-known verses. Matthew 5 and verse 14. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Are you 8 years old? You can be a little light in your house. You always can be. Don't ever think that you're not important. Don't put something over top the light that God has given you. You can be a light in your house. God has given all of us to be a testimony and a witness for Him, no matter where we are. School, playground, sports, whatever it is, let your light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. We mentioned right at the beginning that the moon only shows one side of itself. Now we know that at least two countries have sent up satellites and taken pictures of the backside of the moon. But to the rest of us, we can't see that. Perhaps again, have you ever thought that you might be a bit underappreciated? You know, like there's a backside that no one ever sees? Perhaps we all run into that. And of course, the world at large doesn't see, shall we say, the backside of what real Christianity is. They do see the light that's reflected here, but they don't understand what Christianity is all about. We have to show them and tell them. But don't feel bad about that. Don't feel bad about a side that is hidden. That's fine. We live in the presence of God. We don't live in the presence of human beings anyway. Don't be worried if only half of you is really known. You think maybe someone's missed out the better half. Don't worry about that. God sees that. God appreciates it. It means everything to Him. He sees you as a whole person. Maybe I don't see you in your totality. That's fine. God does. Shine for Him. Live for Him. Let's give thanks. Our God and our Father, and we're thankful for another day of the grace of God. We're thankful that there is the light of God's Word shines into our life. We pray that we might reflect that back into this world for blessing, for good to those that are around us. We pray that we might just shine for Thee, perhaps not saying much in a quiet way, but that we might manifest Thy glories in this world and leaving the results to Thee, Lord Jesus. In Thy name we give thanks. Amen.